This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Let's talk about Dylan Mortensen. This is one of the surviving roommates who, you know, went through absolute hell that night in that house, and, you know, has been the subject of criticism, of bullying, of all sorts of crap over the last year since this tragedy took place. Let's specifically talk about the role that a witness like this plays in a crime like this. We know that she saw, or had said that she saw, someone who looked like Koberger. We'll talk about the description in just a little bit. But having been so quiet thus far, at least to the public, what role do you think Dylan will play in the trial and the against Brian Koberger when that eventually does come?
She can play a hugely critical role, obviously. I don't think we'll hear too much more about a description than we've already heard. Maybe she'll probably talk a bit about the girls themselves. I want to go back to what you were just saying a few minutes ago about what she's been through. And her, I was researching this one even more in depth. What people have got to stop piling on. You know, when you are facing something that is profoundly traumatic as that, whether you're the witness of it, you're a friend of these girls and the guy, or the parents, this is the most tragic thing that can happen in life. A lot of times in life when we lose someone, whether it's from illness, there's sometimes a lead up for it. We're starting to get mentally prepared. If people are elderly, there's disease, there's, you know, all these things kind of mentally prepare us for those things. Then there's tragic accidents that happen, which is another level of trauma on top of the loss, and it's rapid. And then there's murder. It is really the most profound way to lose someone is when they're murdered. And being a close friend, it's dramatic on them and even worse on the parents. There is no, people say that, you know, eventually you'll get over it, or no, you don't. You never get over things like this. The effect on the psyche of someone that goes through this, especially if you're there and witnessing it, the survivor's guilt that they go through, the pain of reliving it, I can't even imagine. And for someone, anyone to sit back and criticize without walking a mile in someone else's shoes in such a traumatic experience, shame on them.
Well, especially even now that so much more time has passed and we know that they were not involved in this in any way, shape, or form. At the beginning, everybody is raising every possible question in kind of the fog of war, if you will, as it is at the beginning of any of these sort of events. But very quickly in, we knew that these kids, these were victims as well. And now every single day, the mentality of some people online, I mean, what is that? What is it that someone is missing that they feel their deed in life is to get up in the morning and attack someone mentally and then verbally through their words and their accusations who already has been the victim of a horrible crime? We're seeing this more and more in the last handful of years. A big example that I can think of is Alex Jones encouraging his followers to attack or go after the Sandy Hook families and making those accusations that they were somehow actors or something of that. I even heard that in this case a little bit. What is that? Is this like some sort of collective psychosis that society goes through in large numbers? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. I tell this to people quite frequently. When you are assaulted verbally, and worst case scenario, physically, obviously, but when you're assaulted verbally and judged by others, I always remind people, and it's very hard to embody, you know, psychologically and mentally, we can, you know, examine it here and we can say, okay, that makes sense. But emotionally, when you're the subject of it, it's very difficult. And that is when someone's coming at you like that, it's not about you. They're not saying those things to you specifically. They're literally just trying to be seen because of their own pain and trauma. They are just messed up people that need to be seen. They need to have a mouthpiece. They need to feel better than someone else around them because they're so insecure. Because it goes back to things we've said before on the show is people's ability to problem solve through the challenges they're facing in life is evaporating. Mm-hmm. And one of those problems in life we face is what do we do when we feel low? What do we do when we feel bad about ourselves? What do we do if we experience our own trauma growing up and we never felt seen and valued and heard like we need as human beings genetically and biologically? We start lashing out at others to put other people's down to in order to make ourselves feel better, to make ourselves be seen. And with the advent of social media, everyone's got an ability to have a mouthpiece. And if you're going to be controversial in any way whatsoever, the world flocks to you. Because of these people, even negative attention is better than no attention. And so that's why they love piling on and judging others. It is the most horrible thing you can do to another human being is sit in judgment. Because I can tell you, I read and consume a lot of information. And some of the greatest things I read are the biographies of the greatest human beings that have ever walked this planet. Mm-hmm. Again, that is context dependent. And every single human being is flawed.
Yeah.
So shame on anyone else to poke anyone else.
Well, what is fascinating about it is when people are piling on to someone who like this, they're not a killer. They're not someone that's been convicted or even accused of a crime. I can understand how people would want to pile on to Alec Murdaugh or individuals, I mean, even Koberger with the evidence that's against him at this time, but innocent until proven guilty. But it just seemingly targeting innocent bystanders who also suffered at the hands of someone. What the hell is that? I mean, some make sense where people get mad and get angry. This, not so much.
No, you're right. It's their suffering. I know it sounds like I'm being soft and compassionate on the people that are perpetrating this a little bit, and I'm not whatsoever. No. Because everyone's accountable for their horrendous actions. But when I see someone do that, I feel extremely bad for the victim that's being victimized yet again. But I see the pain in the person doing it, because normal human beings, normal people that have healthy relationships with others and most importantly with themselves, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I just see more pain and trauma that's emanating. And every time I see someone do it, I just say to myself, this person needs to get some counseling quick.
What, if any, will time affect when it comes to this trial actually taking place? And then if someone like Dylan or one of the girls is requested to make a statement or to testify in the case, is this something where the prosecution is going to be looking at her as well? This, or the defense rather, is going to look at her thinking, well, this has been more than a year now since this took place, which it will certainly be by the time this goes to trial, and memories are flawed. And is that going to be an angle that they're going to also try and attack her on? I mean, I get a defense that's going to do anything they can, but is it a valid point to attack someone on or to criticize on or just ask a question on after so much time has gone by from the actual crime to it hitting court and trying to figure out what happened?
You know, memories over time are a very valid thing to go after in anyone. But this is a very delicate one. Do you want to do with firsthand witnesses like this that have been through that trauma? And this defense attorney, as we've said, she's good. Mm-hmm. She's very good. And remember, it's not just about what you're going to hear. It's about the impact of hearing it is going to have on the jury. And if the defense attorney comes across as callous, she makes her cry, she makes her relive that horrendous night and the days leading up to it and the friendship she had, and it compels the jury to think less of the defense attorney because of what she's doing, that's going to go really bad for her. And this defense attorney has been very good so far, I think, and she's got reps. She knows her job well. I don't think she's going, again, pure conjecture, I don't think she's going to go at her in a malicious way or in a force her to relive it. It's going to be really tough because this is going to be extremely emotional. This is something that none of these people that were right there will ever get over.
No. Not,
and she's, I guarantee you she remembers that night like it happened minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you experience something so traumatic in that way, that has such a massive emotional impact on you, you're your memory of it is extremely vivid. Now, granted, there's things that can happen, you know, because of other traumas and reliving it that can, implant itself and other potential false memories. But her recollections of that evening are going to be extremely accurate.
Well, and the fact that she did give her accounts right away. So it's not like they're going to be asking her to recount something that she hasn't already recounted. That's already on the record. Her talking about the detailed physical recollections of a man with bushy eyebrows is essentially what she had said early on. Wearing a face mask, but was able to pick that up. The fact that came out of her literally within days of the crimes occurring versus this is suddenly coming up 2 years later in a trial, does that make it more impactful to a jury?
Potentially. I still think they're going to go hard on the science on it. I think she's going to go at the genetics more than anything else and the reliability of it. I think that's the angle. She's got to go for emotionally neutral angles because this is an emotionally disturbing event. And so I think she's going to rely on attacking the science more than anything else.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.